1775, generations of Americans have fought for our ideals and our principles. American warriors secured the freedoms to create the United States of America. They fought to end slavery. They joined with allies to win two world wars. They have responded with valor and honor whenever called. And they have liberated more people around the globe than any military in the history of the world. Our all-volunteer forces of guardsmen, soldiers, sailors, marines, airmen, and reservists continue the mission begun at Lexington and Concord. Less than 1% of Americans serve in our armed forces. The least the rest of us can do is to pay attention and get engaged. This program is produced and broadcast for that purpose. It is presented live and worldwide at 1041kqth.com. To engage, call 520-751-1041. The American Warrior is on the air.
Good afternoon, Tucson. This is Ben Bueller Garcia, your host for today's American Warrior. We are live. I'm live in the studio. Our guests are calling us from somewhere on the ocean in San Diego. You know, traditionally we start off with this a little bit this day in military history, but given the subject of today's discussion, let me give you some very, very focused history. It's somewhat of a Navy tradition to name certain ships after inspirational battles or persons. My personal favorite inspirational place, the USS Tucson. But what could be more inspirational than a ship actually carrying the name of America? There were four ships now that carried that name. The very first was a ship of the line that was built for the Continental Navy, the USS America, was to be a 74-gun ship of the line. Its keel was laid in May of 1777. But as you can imagine, as a new country, we had some financial challenges. So that and the lack of skilled craftsmen and seasoned timber delayed her construction. On June 26th of 1781, the famous John Paul Jones was named her commanding officer, and he threw himself into the task of completing the ship. But before he was finished, in September of the next year, Congress decided to present that ship to King Louis of France to replace a ship they lost, trying to enter into Boston Harbor and cement the relationship and recognize the sacrifices that France made on behalf of our country, of the American cause. The second USS America actually was a German ship that was launched as an ocean liner, but upon entry into World War I, the United States seized that ship and converted it to a troop transport. That ship, the USS America, took almost 40,000 troops to the battles in France during the First World War. The third was an aircraft carrier, the USS America. It was a Kitty Hawk-class supercarrier that was commissioned in 1965. She made three Pacific deployments during the Vietnam War and also served honorably in Operations Desert Shield and Desert Storm. This is kind of a sad story. She was decommissioned in 1996 and made her last sacrifice as a live fire test and evaluation platform. That USS America was scuttled on May 14, 2005. It was the largest warship to ever be sunk at that time, and today she rests 17,500 feet below the surface of the Atlantic Ocean. Today we're talking about the fourth ship to proudly carry the name USS America, LHA-6. It's the first of a state-of-the-art new class of amphibious assault ships, and we're joined today by Master Chief Steve Kennedy and, Mr. Smith, I forget, what is your rank?
Electrician's mate, third class.
Okay. Both of you are on board of the newest USS America, calling us from San Diego. Is that correct?
We're actually in Mississippi, Ben, in Pascagoula, still fitting out the ship, ready for our maiden voyage.
Oh, great. Thanks for that information, Steve. Where is the USS America right now?
We are at the Ingalls Shipyard in Pascagoula, Mississippi.
Okay, but you are aboard that ship.
Yes, we are.
Okay.
And we'll be in San Diego by the end of the year.
My producer, Silent Jim's giving me the eyes. Hey, Ben, do your research. You are calling from aboard the USS America, which is our latest and greatest amphibious assault ship, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay, that's a good place to start. So what? Let's see. We've got just about 5 minutes before we go to the first break. Let's start off with you, Steve. You've got a certain tie, and part of the reason I'm doing this. And by the way, I'm wearing a USS America hat. Thank you very much. But you, Steve, tell us a little bit about your background. You had some time. You've got some connections to Tucson.
I do. My last tour there was at the NOS there in Tucson, which is a fantastic tour, the Reserve Center. Working with the great reservists in southern Arizona, and my wife is a native Tucsonan, and so that's two great ties from Tucson.
Great. And Mr. Smith, you've got some even tighter ties to Tucson, don't you?
Yes, sir, I do.
And would you like to share with our listeners what those are?
I'm
I went to high school in Tucson. I went to Desert Mosaic, and I attended Pima Community College, did some classes out there before enlisting.
Okay, so you definitely know Tucson very well.
I'd say so, yes.
And just now, keep in mind, the whole purpose of this show is to educate and inform the 99% or more of the U.S. population that never served. So we're going to start off kind of basic. Steve, let's start with you. What is your role aboard the USS America?
Well, I'm the senior enlisted engineer on board. My job is to kind of supervise the personnel in the engineering department, make sure that check on morale, evaluations, that kind of stuff, make sure the engineering plant is running properly, propulsion, electricity, all the basic hotel services, that kind of thing.
Okay, and Mr. Smith?
I'm the electrician, so we basically make sure that the generators are putting out enough power to power the ship so that everyone has power so they can do their daily jobs. And the shop that I'm in, we manage the electrical safety program, so it's making sure that everyone's safe throughout the ship.
Okay. Now, Steve, I made a mistake. Those of us, you know, the fans following the Facebook page, I will admit, you know, part of being a man is admitting when you make a mistake. I listed your rank incorrectly as senior chief. You're a master chief now. But share with us, when did you receive or where did you formally receive your promotion and what else happened on that day in that location?
Well, I got word of it while I was stationed there in Tucson. I had the privilege of getting having my promotion ceremony on the diamond at the Tucson Padres game, and at that very same game, I got engaged to my wife.
Well, no messing around.
Nope. Ready to go.
First pitch, first proposal. There you go, Tucson.
Yes.
Padres. Now, unfortunately, we lost. Well, you'll be able to see the Padres there in San Diego. Now, that's eventually where the ship will be based, correct? Once she's commissioned.
Yes, that will be our home port.
Okay, and. One thing, both of you are in engineering, kind of the mechanics of it. This is not, how is this ship powered? Is it have traditional engines or is it nuclear powered?
No, it's a conventional power. It uses gas turbine propulsion, which is kind of new for ships of this size. Gas turbine along with electric drives. So the turbines for high speed and the electric drives for slower speeds and fuel economy.
Okay. And I tell you what, folks, when we talk about high speed on the ocean, we're going to talk about that a little bit more in the second segment. You're talking something that is, 45,000 tons moving about 20 knots, Steve?
Yeah, about there.
That's a big thing moving very fast.
Yes.
Gentlemen, stick with us, folks. We are joined by two guests calling us live from aboard the brand new USS America in Mississippi currently. An introduction. This ship is not going to be commissioned until October, but our listeners are getting a special preview live from the boat. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We are live in studio. Give us a call, 751-1041. We'll be right back.
Those who expect to reap the blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
We're back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. A really, really special interview. Our listeners, everybody listening in, whether it's locally or around the world, is getting a special preview of the latest state-of-the-art America-class amphibious assault ship. We're joined by Master Chief Steve Kennedy. And tell me if I get this right, Jacob. Electrician's mate, third class, is that right?
Yes.
Very good. Well, yay for me. I finally got it right. Who are calling us literally from aboard the USS America, our latest ship, that has not been commissioned yet. And, Steve, one thing. You're in Mississippi now.
Yes.
You need to get to San Diego.
Correct.
Basic, silly question on my part. Will this ship fit through the Panama Canal, or do you have to go the long way?
Oh, we got to go the long way around.
Wow. Okay, so that's a pretty big boat.
Yes.
Okay. Now, walk us through, Steve, for those of us who aren't familiar, walk us through the process, because I think some folks may be confused with the fact that the ship won't be commissioned until October, but you're already aboard. So sort of just walk our listeners through the traditional way this goes from the laying of the keel to the time the boat is launched and kind of what takes place in between before she's formally commissioned.
Wow. Okay. It's been about a 5-year process from the time the keel was laid in 2009, in July 2009, until 2012 when she was completed and finally christened and launched. And that's just it's not a keel laying in the traditional sense, because ships aren't built like they were, you know, 100 years ago, where you start with the keel and build up. They're built in sections, so it's just a matter of like a giant jigsaw puzzle, putting all these sections together to form a ship. Since she was launched, and they continue the fitting out, and just putting all the equipment on board, all the machinery, making sure everything's working properly, testing. We went through builder's trials late last year, where the shipyard tested all the systems, and then just January this year, we went through acceptance trials where the Navy did the final testing on it and said, yeah, she's good to go, ready for acceptance.
And is it at that point where the taxpayers actually take possession of the ship, or the Navy takes possession of the ship then?
We took possession of it in April. We actually marched on board and physically moved on board and took possession of the vessel.
Okay. And then, so the formal commissioning, though, again, is October 11th in San Diego, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
October 11th.
Okay. Now, tell us, it's designated LHA-6. Explain to our listeners what that means. How does that
work? We are an amphibious landing ship. The L stands for landing for, and it's a designation for amphibious ships. The H is for helicopters, because that's our primary role, to carry helicopters, and the A is assault. It's an amphibious assault ship.
Okay, and this, just to walk through this, because I find that, I mean, this is, we mentioned before, this is a big boat. It's 844 feet long, which is, what, almost 3 football fields.
Yeah.
45,000 ton displacement once it's fully loaded. Now, one thing that's interesting about this ship is that really, it as I understand it, it signals a shift to an aviation-centered platform versus kind of the traditional, when someone thinks of maybe an assault ship, something that's going to landing craft and other kind of boats coming out of the well. Is that an accurate?
Right. Yeah. A traditional amphibious ship has a well deck that can launch landing craft out of the back of it. This vessel does not have a well deck. They've gotten rid of that. So it allows us to extend the hangar deck to allow more aircraft on board. Also gives us more shops and workspaces than below decks, and to carry more fuel.
Okay. Now, it's also designed to carry the latest advanced aircraft. But before we get into that, because there's an application, in particular the F-35 is a particular type of F-35 that's designed specifically for the Marines. And we're talking to Navy people on a ship that's designed to be used by the Marines. Explain to us, Steve, if you can, or Jacob, either one of you, just sort of that relationship and that history between the Marines and the Navy.
The Navy operates the ship. We man it. We're the navigators. We're the engineers. The logistics arm of it. You know, it's our job to bring the Marines on board, take them where they need to go. And then they'll launch from the ship to do whatever their mission is that they need to accomplish.
So they're basically but even, for example, some of the aircraft, are those piloted by Marine pilots or Navy pilots, or is it a little bit of both?
They're generally all Marine pilots. We may have some helicopters on board, such as search and rescue helicopters. They'll be manned by naval aviators, but the rest will all be Marine Corps aviators.
Okay, and these are, when I talk about some of the equipment on board, and this truly is a really advanced ship, we're talking the Osprey, which is the tilt rotor aircraft that some people might be familiar with. Sometimes they get up into Marana north of Tucson. The F-35, the Marine version of the F-35, which is a vertical takeoff or short takeoff vertical landing aircraft.
Yes.
And then also your Harriers. You mentioned helicopters, Sea Knight, Super Cobra helicopters. I mean, this literally is something you could pretty much launch almost, I shouldn't say almost anything off it, but you really got the full complement of aircraft that you need to support an assault.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we can't launch like an F-14 because we don't have the deck space, but we can, any type of helicopter or short takeoff aircraft, we should be able to launch it.
Okay. Now, explain, both of you, I know, Mr. Smith, you're an electrician, but what's interesting to me is in kind of reading about the capability of this ship, the power plant, how it's actually powered, and it's really designed to be very, very efficient, the gas turbine propulsion plant. It's kind of walk us through again, so that operates off of diesel, or what is the connection there?
The diesels run, once the diesels are running, it goes through a generator, and the generator is what outputs the voltage to power the ship. So that's how that works. And then the APS system.
APS, yeah.
How that works, like the way I view it, it's kind of like a hybrid car. Once you're going slow enough, that just kicks in, so the diesels don't have to work. You're just running off that system right there. I don't know if that makes sense.
Well, yeah, when you compare it to a hybrid car, so basically the movement of the ship through the water is to some extent generating your power?
Well, it's a hybrid in that you have your regular engines, your gas turbines for high speed. So if you picture any type of hybrid car, when you're traveling at freeway speeds, you're on the engine. But when you slow down to a slower speed, it kicks into the battery. To an electric drive, and that's what we have. The generators provide the electricity for our electric drive to cruise us at lower speed, and it's a huge cost savings in the amount of fuel that we burn.
Okay, now I just again looking at sort of the data sheet that your PA sent over here. It lists 1.3 million gallons of fuel. Have I got that number right?
Oh yeah, that's correct.
That's a lot.
That's a lot of gas.
So part of the weight of this whole thing is maybe just in fuel. Now, for those of us from the desert, maybe Jacob could understand this. 20 knots, that means absolutely nothing to me when I'm going up and down I-10 to Phoenix. How fast in miles per hour is 20 knots approximately?
I believe it's 1.3 miles
per knot.
Okay, so 20 knots, so it's going, what, about 23 miles per hour? Maybe?
23, 24, I think it would be.
Which is pretty darn fast for 50,000 tons.
About 26, actually.
Okay.
Math.
Okay. And how long can without provisions, how long can the ship stay out at sea, approximately?
We're going up to 75 days.
Okay. And that's food, the whole deal?
Yes.
Now, I've been, Steve, you probably know this, I've been aboard the USS Tucson, which is a Los Angeles-class fast attack boat, probably one of the smallest ships ever as far as the size and the space and the quarters. This is, the America is not going to be quite as big as a supercarrier, but it's still a whole lot of different, room on board the ship. What?
Yeah, we're about half the size of a supercarrier, so we don't have quite the room that you would have on there, but a lot more than, say, a frigate or a fast attack sub.
And the full complement, once you go to sea, is going to be approximately how many personnel, sailors, and Marine?
Well, we carry normally about 1,100 sailors on board, and we can carry up to, I want to say it's about 1,500 Marines.
Okay, so that's quite a few folks. And I want to get into some of the fun details that kind of USS America trivia so far as we go forward. But tell us a little bit more about, and Jacob, let's start with you. You Desert Rat, spent some time. What inspired you to join the Navy? And now, is this your first ship, or?
No, yeah, this is my first ship. Like I said, I was going to community college and everything. I was going to be a firefighter, but my whole family's been in. And after talking to some of the departments, like, you should really get some military experience. And my grandpa was in the Navy, and he always told me, he's like, you should go Navy. And I checked it out, talked to a recruiter, and I just felt like it was the best choice for me, whether I decided to stay in or whether I decided to get out. Like, it benefited me better than any other branch had to offer me.
It's lucky you didn't see Chief Kennedy's first pitch at that Padres game. You might have considered going Air Force.
Hey, I pitched a lot better than the Air Force guy did. I actually made it into the glove.
That's a strike in my book. Now, so following up with you, Jacob, how are you finding it? How long have you been on board the America?
I've been on board for about 2 months. I want to say it feels like a lot longer, but no, it's all right. I came in expecting, like, a lot tighter quarters from what everyone told me, but it really isn't all that bad. I enjoy it. The only thing is the chow lines are rough to get used to.
Well, and they're probably going to get more crowded as you bring on. Now, the most of the Marines that will come on board the ship, does that not take place till after commissioning, or when you come around and head towards San Diego, will you have pretty much your full complement of crew on board?
We'll have some Marines on board. We won't be carrying a full complement, but we will have some Marines on board for the sail around.
Okay.
We'll be doing a couple of things with some of the nations as we travel along. So.
Oh, wonderful.
Yeah.
Okay, gentlemen, we're about a minute away from our next commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about the capability of this wonderful ship, maybe the types of missions that it would be used for. And, Steve, you had some very interesting historical things you wanted to share with us that would apply to this case. Talk a little bit about life aboard the USS America as she's getting ready to be commissioned as our latest and newest, most advanced amphibious assault submarine. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined live by Master Chief Steve Kennedy and also electrician's mate Jacob Smith of Tucsonan, calling us from Mississippi aboard the USS America. We'll be right back.
Blessings of freedom must, like men, undergo the fatigue of supporting it. Now, back to the American Warrior.
We're back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We're joined by Master Chief Steve Kennedy and electrician's mate Jacob Smith. Jacob is a Tucsonan. Steve's kind of an adopted Tucsonan. He married into Tucsonan-ness, if that's a word, Steve. Gentlemen, welcome back. You are calling us live from the USS America, which is the latest and state-of-the-art amphibious assault ship due to be commissioned in October of this coming year. And Steve, when we're kind of getting ready for the show, you had mentioned some particular historical events that took place on this day that really relate to kind of the mission of this ship that you're on board today.
In 1944, the 5th Fleet landed Marines on Saipan in the beginning of the conquest of the Marianas, which is kind of a primary mission of amphibious ships to project power over the beaches. And then in 91, on this day, the U.S. evacuated dependents and Air Force personnel from Clark Air Force Base in the Philippines because of the Mount Pinatubo eruption.
Mm-hmm.
Just two examples of some of the missions that we perform: evacuations, power projection, humanitarian assistance, all things that we are fully capable of doing.
Now let's kind of continue that thought, and I'm guessing the public affairs officer there has got their finger pretty close to the button, so I'll try and be careful. You know, tell us what you can about the mission of this ship. Now, we start off the show, we talk a little bit about the design of this ship is somewhat different in that it signals a shift towards more air power and air assault versus the traditional idea where the big door goes down and landing craft head out of the ship's well. But the USS America does not have a ship's well.
Right. But we have a large aviation capability, which allows us to project power onto the beach and over the beach, where we can project it in and put it behind enemy forces or in different areas other than directly on the beach. So it gives us a little more versatility in that respect. But also it allows us a lot more versatility when it comes to our secondary missions, our other missions that we do, whether it's evacuations or humanitarian assistance, that kind of stuff.
So tell us, just kind of projecting forward, if the type of mission that this ship is designed for in a combat scenario, this is not a ship that's going to be out there all by itself. It would be part of a task force.
Yeah, we'd be part of an amphibious readiness group with other smaller amphibious ships that would have probably landing craft capabilities, as well as other ships for defense, such as destroyers, frigates, cruisers, that kind of thing.
Okay, and those ships, do you already know, or does somebody already know what ships make up that task force, or is that sort of just happen when you're getting ready to deploy?
Yeah, that'll happen when we get ready to deploy. What that makeup will be, depending on what our primary mission is going to be for that deployment.
So we're talking about an assault. We need to put Marines on the beach, or as you mentioned, over the beach. Kind of paint a picture for our listeners on how that takes place, because I guess maybe like me, a lot of folks, again, I'm kind of stuck with the idea of the landing craft come out from the big boat, roll up on the beach, the gate falls down, and the Marines, you know, charge out. It doesn't necessarily work that way anymore. You're bringing Marines in by the air, and then some of the traditional landing craft now are using, landing craft air cushion.
Yeah, the hovercraft. Basically, it's like a hovercraft, a large hovercraft, yeah. I know a lot of people, when they think of amphibious assault, they think of a lot of the old World War II movies, Saving Private Ryan, that kind of thing. And it's just not done that quite that way anymore. It's more of an enveloping strategy to surround the enemy rather than just trying to muscle straight through them.
Okay. Jacob, your thoughts on this. Let me back up a little. Steve, how many ships have you served on in your career?
Let's see. This would be my fourth ship.
And what the previous three were what types of ships?
Two of them were frigates, and one of them was an LST, which was an old another old amphibious ship, a landing craft.
Okay, so you've gone from old school to brand new here.
Yes.
Excellent. Jacob, this is your first ship. What are your thoughts? How long, you know, you've been on board just a little while, but what are your thoughts as far as in the context of what you, your sense of what this ship is going to be able to do for our country?
Sorry, that's tough.
you weren't prepared for that question, were you? Nobody told you there'd be a test.
I knew coming here that, you know, there's a possibility that something might happen, but after seeing everyone train on it, I feel completely safe on whatever they sent us to do. Back in San Diego, I was able to go on the Macon Island with some Marines on board, and seeing them train, I know that I kind of have an idea of what they're doing now, so I feel a lot better about being on this ship with them on board.
Okay. Now, very often I started the conversation off talking about the use. I mean, this is an implement of war, but that's not the only use of ships like this, Steve. And you alluded to that, to the evacuation. The other capabilities of this ship for humanitarian purposes, when we need to rescue people or get them out of a place in a big hurry, tell us a little bit more about what that would look like.
Well, with the aircraft on board, with helicopters on board, we'd be able to pull personnel out quickly. We have a hospital facility on board. We have with two operating rooms, three bed intensive care, 23 bed ward, as well as facilities to house personnel temporarily while they're on board. So it's very easily to go in, pull people out if we have to, or to provide food and medical assistance ashore if that's what we need to do as well.
And it seems as of late our military has been called on a lot to do those sorts of things. The situation in the Philippines recently,
yep.
Obviously Japan, other sorts of situations that unfortunately may be unfolding in the world today. That would be a case where your ship would be called upon to provide support.
Absolutely.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about life on board that boat. The PA did send me some kind of factoids that I thought were kind of fun, just because it's hard, I think, in particular if you haven't been there standing next to something this big sitting on the water, it's hard to get a sense of how large it is. But we're talking about, 1,770 gallons of milk per month, 500 pounds of lettuce. The galley is going to serve 3,000 meals a day.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lot of stuff. What?
And it'll double that when the Marines are on board.
So all these numbers double.
Yes.
That's a lot of eggs. What? Just if you can, I know you're not really there yet, but so sort of walk us through what there probably is no typical day aboard the USS America, but for your sailors and Marines on board, maybe Steve, walk us through what a normal day like that would look like.
Typical normal days are not very common, especially right now. Let's see, we have maintenance we have to get done on all of our equipment, make sure it's operating properly. We've got drills we have to conduct, fire drills, flooding drills, medical and equipment casualty drills to prepare us for God forbid, the actual thing happening. We're going through several inspections right now to get us ready to get underway and go around, so we're running rehearsals for the various inspections going on. Cleanliness of the ship, you know, it's a daily thing to have to go through the ship and keep it clean when you have 1,000 people living in tight quarters. All these things have to fit in our typical day. It gets pretty busy.
And how often, once people are assigned to the ship, what is your rotation, if you will? Is it 2 years? Is it 3 years?
It depends on what their job classification is. It can run anywhere from 3 to 5 years normally.
Okay. And listen, so far, Steve, what the difference? Because you've been on several ships. Mr. Smith is his first one. He really doesn't have a point of reference. What stands out the most in your mind so far about the USS America, Steve?
The size, for one thing. This is the largest ship I've ever been on. I've been primarily small boys before this. This is one of the most dedicated and excited crews I've ever been with. There's so many people are just so excited to be part of this this experience, to be the commissioning crew for the USS America. It's amazing to me.
Well, and I'm not cheating, but literally that's a good transition, because when we come back from the commercial break, I'd like both of you to talk a little bit about that. Just the sort of the added pressure. I mean, you are literally bearing the name USS America, a very proud tradition. You're carrying our name and projecting it around the world. And talk a little bit when we come back about that extra camaraderie or sense of pride, or maybe even pressure that the crew feels as they go forward towards commissioning. Folks, this is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. We'll be right back.
My daddy served in the army. We lost his right eye, but he flew a flag out in our yard till the day that he died. He wanted my mother, my brother, my sister, and me to grow up and live happy in the land of the free.
If you want to discuss those who serve the red, white, and blue, dial 520-751-1041. If you want to support them, start with WoundedWarriorProject.org. Now, back to the American Warrior.
And we lit up your world.
Welcome back, folks. This is your host, Ben Bueller Garcia. A very unique show today. Imagine something 45,000 tons moving at 20 miles an hour across the ocean, eating 5,000 pounds, 15,000 pounds of lettuce a month, 27,000 pounds of chicken. No, we're not talking Godzilla, folks. We're talking our very new USS America, the latest state-of-the-art amphibious assault ship that will be commissioned for our United States Navy coming up this October. We're joined by Master Chief Steve Kennedy and Electrician's Mate Jacob Smith, both with direct ties to the city of Tucson. Gentlemen, welcome back, and thanks for reminding me. It is Father's Day. Do either one of you want to send a shout-out right now to your dads?
My dad's up in Camp Verde, but hopefully he can still hear this. Happy Father's Day, and I hope that my brothers and sisters take you out and feed you.
Yeah, because there's not enough chicken on the America for. Steve?
I just want to wish my stepdad, Frank, happy Father's Day. I hope he's listening online in California.
Great. And I'm gonna make my dad work on Father's Day. He's coming in doing the Daily Mail show next. So that's how ungrateful am I, huh? We just before we took the break, we talked about it. I follow. If folks want to follow the USS America, they can find you on Facebook. And there's lots of pictures, lots of stuff going on. But you almost kind of get the sense that, given the fact that you're carrying the name America and the illustrious history of previous ships named America, do you get a sense that there's any particular type of pressure, or the reverse side of that coin, is there a particular sense of pride, a stronger sense of pride than you've seen on other ships?
Yeah, I'd say there's a bit more pressure, especially for a lot of us new guys like myself, because we're brand new to the Navy coming on board. We got these seasoned sailors that we got to work with. It's a little intimidating at times. Then you got to realize that you're carrying the country's name on your ship. So, but, I mean, it's really an honor. I remember in A school once they told me USS America, everyone told me how lucky I was to be on a pre-com, especially that ship, because it's going to be a great ship to be on. But no, I really enjoy being here, and yeah, the pressure's worth it.
Great.
I've two of my ships were named after after naval heroes, and one of them was named after a county. But this is the first ship I've been ever named after a full country, and it's very exciting to be part of this. There is a lot of pressure, no doubt, to get this right, but I think everyone here is up to the task for it.
Well, Steve, I've watched you work from when you were here at the Navy Operations Center in Tucson. I know you can do the job. I've got a lot of confidence in Jacob, even though he doesn't have barnacles on his feet yet, kind of like you do, Steve. But talk a little bit about, Steve, if you would. You've had some experience. The Navy, you know, when I talk to people about the USS Tucson, they kind of give you this funny look. They don't, you know, first of all, they confuse it with the Arizona, but then they say, wait a minute, Tucson Navy doesn't quite compute. Steve, what... any kind of unique stories that you can share with our listeners about your time in the Navy? Just some stuff.
Oh wow! It's hard to get it down to one. You know, I grew up in a small. I'll tell you this: I grew up in a small desert town, a lot like Tucson, just smaller in California, and never really thought I'd go much anywhere. But I was counting up all the places I visited, all the countries I visited since I joined the Navy 20 some odd years ago. I've been to 17 different countries, sometimes multiple times. And just to think that I could accomplish that, you know, coming from what was basically humble beginnings, I think was pretty fantastic. Whether it's touring castles in Okinawa, or launching marine craft in the Philippines for exercises, just pretty amazing stuff that I've been able to go through.
Any unique experiences so far for you, Jacob?
I don't think I've been in long enough to have any cool experience like that. I mean, I've learned a lot of stuff though. Like in boot camp, I learned that people can fall asleep while they're marching, or they can fall asleep.
not in the Navy, sir.
But that's I don't think I've had enough experience to get some good sea stories yet. But I think those are pretty nice.
I'm sure it will come. Now, Steve, talk to us a little bit if you can. This is not something where you kind of just weigh the anchor and just kind of head out and I mean, you're literally are training all the time and preparing all the time, even in your transit around to get to San Diego.
Yes.
Talk to us a little bit about one thing that was interesting to me that I learned about in my interaction with the USS Tucson is, again, civilians, we think about the different kinds of threats to our ships, but I never thought about fire. Like on a submarine, how as far as the training firefighting, how important is that going to be aboard the USS America?
Oh, it's huge. Like we tell all the new folks that come on board, there's no 911 when you're at sea. So if we have a fire, if we start taking water on the ship, if we start flooding, there's no one to call. It's on us. So we train constantly on firefighting, how to do it safely, how to get the right equipment on and go down there and take care of it. It's a big part of our daily routine on training.
And what other sort of critical issues? I mean, obviously you're in engineering, so if you're not doing your job, the boat doesn't go anywhere. What are some of the other critical issues that you absolutely have to be prepared for when you're out there?
Probably the biggest issue definitely being fire, but you know, we have equipment casualties from time to time. We got to know how to respond to those, how to get them mitigate them and then get them repaired so we can get that equipment back online. You know, you get the trips and slips every once in a while. So we have to be prepared for medical emergencies at all times. It's just everything you can think of that your fire, police, paramedics, or public service provides for you in the city. We have to take care of those on our own, so we have to be prepared for them.
And what on downtime? I assume, you know, I would hope that our sailors and Marines are not working 24 hours a day, but what is taking place aboard the ship during folks' time off, those hours? Are they training or are they studying, watching movies?
Well, I hope they're studying, but
okay.
Sometimes they do like to go out and enjoy the sights and see when we're in port, they go out and can do tours and just kind of see the local community, whether it's here in Mississippi or while we're overseas. Underway, there's movies going. We actually do have some internet, so they can usually get on there and what do you guys do, Facebook or whatever it is?
Yeah.
So they can
those kids nowadays
email their families and communicate with their families instantly, which is a lot better than when I first joined.
What was John Paul Jones like, Steve?
Nice guy.
Yeah, nice guy.
And we have a pretty good library on board, so there's books, movies, pretty usual stuff, actually.
Okay. One thing that I want to emphasize, because I think those of us sitting safe at home don't often think about it, is both of you and the rest of your crew members, you're involved in a very dangerous business, even when you're not at war, even when somebody isn't shooting at you. You mentioned the machinery. You've got a lot of moving parts. You are out there in the ocean, and then you add to the mix aircraft taking off and landing. How important is your drilling people and is your training? How important is that safety message?
That leads us every single day. Train as you fight is a mantra that we use, and safety is at the forefront of that. We take every drill very seriously. If we see somebody doing stuff on stage, we stop things immediately, we correct it, and then we move forward. Nobody goes out on their own until they're fully drilled and qualified to perform whatever function it is that they need to perform. The American people are entrusting us with their kids, and we take that job very, very seriously.
Now, I tell you, I just got a message from a listener said, you know, this is all boy stuff. Appropriate question. Is this a mixed gender crew aboard the USS America?
Yeah, it absolutely is. 15% of the crew is females.
Great. Okay, and they're involved all across the board as far as duties, correct?
Absolutely. I've got female engineers that stand watch down on the engineering plant right beside the male. There's no difference as far as qualifications or their ability to do anything.
Gentlemen, I told you it would go fast, and I got to tell you, I'm just so proud that we got you here on American Warrior, literally calling us live from one of our brand-new high-tech, still-smells-good ships, the USS America. Any last thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners? Jacob, we'll start with you.
No, I'd like to just tell my wife, if that's all right.
So, absolutely.
I hope you're listening, and I love you, and I'll be home soon.
Wonderful. Steve?
I've just been placed in front of me the website, facebook.com/USS America. And I'd like to say to my wife, Augie, I love you, and looking forward to seeing you in a couple of months.
Gentlemen, thank you so much for your service. And Steve, in particular, thank you for this opportunity. What a treat for our listeners to get a preview even before the USS America is even commissioned. Gentlemen, please be safe out there, and I look forward to an invitation to the commissioning. And I'll go to San Diego for any reason, but I'd love to come out and join you gentlemen aboard the ship there in October. If you might want to keep that in mind.
I'll see what I can do.
Great. Okay, thank you, gentlemen. Take care, folks. Tune in next week. You might have missed it. I hope you didn't miss it, but yesterday was the Army's 239th birthday. Next week, we're joined by Major John Miller, who will be calling in live from Virginia, talking about the history of our own United States Army, the birthday, lots of great information. Next week on American Warrior, stay tuned. It's Father's Day coming up on Daily Mail. Probably the foremost expert I know on fatherhood, my very own dad. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.